Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He is rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. Might be the very thing you've been longing for, or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you, or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello! Welcome, welcome, my friends, to the scratch-happy technology of the 50s, still alive and kicking here in my little corner of the world. That being the quality of the recording here. We're hoping for an upgrade by next week. The mail did not get through in time this week. In any case, we're flying blind in the saucer pod this evening. I know the world is out there, but I can't see it. And I don't have to, because I can feel it. It comes at me in undulating waves of longer bursts of positive being, followed by shorter bursts of aimless states colored by occasional depression. It's light by comparison with what I've experienced in the past, and the positive side is stronger and more persistent than it has been. I don't think about the world as much as I used to. I realize it's not relevant or important to my situation. My situation is as internal or external as I make it. Wiser minds than my own have told me that it's not what's going on outside you that is of the greatest concern, but what is going on inside you, because it has a much greater effect on what is going on outside you than many realize. Once again, we have to point out that the entire world is a projection of the inner world and reacts to what you believe about it, just as we react to what we believe about the outer world. We imbue it with all the importance it has. It's difficult for any individual to maintain a state of independence from the world because nearly all of your fellows in this experiment are not independent of it. This necessarily acts upon us, and that is why the wise have consistently sought some degree of solitude from endless games and lures of manifest existence. Death is one of the greatest events that can come our way, and because of this, most people go out of their way to avoid thinking about it at all. Nonetheless, death thinks about us. The last challenge directed at the Buddha was the temptation of the daughters of Mara, the god of death. I could be mistaken about that, but it is what I remember. Of course, much of the time, memory is an imperfect facility because we tend to remember things the way we want to remember them and not as they actually occurred. In some cases, we choose not to remember at all. This tends to create an amount of pressure that can build up over time, and if the force of memory is great enough, it will find a way to leap forth and upset us in any number of ways. Ageless wisdom says that the memory is the key to the secrets of existence. What is implied is that there was a time, oh, so very long ago, when we knew all kinds of things that we no longer permit to surface in our minds. We've stuck these things way back in our consciousness, and in some cases, other forces that feed off our confusion and ignorance have assisted in this process of hiding our true selves from us and causing us to believe that our false self is our real self, which it is not. our real self never dies. Our false self does. It seems to me that getting in touch with our real self is a much more profitable endeavor than being the victim of our false self, but that isn't prevailing wisdom. Prevailing wisdom is not ageless wisdom. Prevailing wisdom is whatever pretends it sees into and also controls the trends of the day. Ageless wisdom exists beyond that, and is not subject to changes in the common view concerning what is defined as right and wrong, or real and unreal. Few of us with any awareness would deny that the world of the moment is a seriously distorted place. However, for those caught up in it, it is very real. When we are young, our consciousness is quite fluid. The older we get, the more rigid it becomes. A time comes when we are no longer capable of positive change and no longer able to understand anything new. Sometimes death chooses to take us at this point, and sometimes it may wait quite a while. It's all karma. Our lifetimes are like musical loops. It seems logical to me that the reasons people have to suffer through so many lifetimes, and in some cases that means millions of them, at least according to the traditions of those scriptures that support the existence of reincarnation, is because they are obsessed with experiencing some new permutation of the same thing over and over and over again. Most souls take a very circuitous route through life. They search for experience, and sometimes they search for meaning in the experiences. Unfortunately, the meaning they come up with is all too pedestrian, because these things they seek for meaning in are also pedestrian. You can't make much headway on the path to liberation if you have no interest in walking it in the first place. You can't make much headway if you do not have an experienced guide who has already walked that path. One might ask how they might go about locating such a guide, and I would toss off that old saying, when the pupil is ready, the master is waiting, or the master appears. What this means is that that experienced guide, that master, teacher, or whomever it may be that is meant to have a great importance in our lives, is aware of us long before we are aware of them. It also means that when the fire of aspiration is lit within our being, it generates a light that can be seen by those angels whose job it is to know these things, to notice these things, if it were. Angels are messengers as much as anything, and those agents that are the medium between from your lips to God's ear. Some of them are representatives of archetypal forces. Some of them are major players, and some of them are minor players. They are residents of the Devic realm, which is what they call that place where angels dwell in the East. Not some place in the East where angels dwell, but where those traditions in the East refer to it as the Devic realm. Angels and their area of employment stretch across an incredibly large expanse of territory. Besides angels, there are many other different forms of being whose vocation is to assist humanity on its long haul back to the source of all things. Many of us think we're alone out here. Some of us have been told that there are only a small number of bona fide teachers, and that may well be true, but there is a much, much greater of those who help, number of those who help us and who carry the details of our progress to the right ears. Never fear that you will not meet the right teacher, or that you will pass through this life without guidance from the highest. Regardless of the teachers that come and go here, all of them get what they get from the source of all things, and you host the source of all things within you at the moment, however unaware of it you may be. Now, it is true that most of us hear from the source of all things, but that is generally due to the fact that we do not search for the source of all things. What I meant to say is, most of us don't hear from the source of all things. Regardless of what you do or do not know, the source of all things is aware of you and is closer to you than you are to yourself. We might think that because we do not get audible answers from the source of all things, that the source of all things don't hear us, but the source of all things hears everything. Yeah. This seems impossible to most people, regardless of the protestations to the contrary. I assure you it's true. If it is true that the source of all things hears everything and also knows everything, then there should be no possibility that the source of all things is unaware of you. Armed with this degree of faith, you do not have to worry about locating a bona fide teacher because you already have one. Most of us do not encounter one of the authentic teachers, and many of you do are unaware that it even happened. This should not keep any of us from searching with the greatest intensity we can muster. In any case, it ain't over till it's over, as Yogi Berra said. You have to live it to the greatest degree that you're capable. We are not all capable of the same intensity, and we are not expected to perform at a level we are not able to. We are only expected to do the best that we can, so that is why we must make the divine, the ineffable, the centerpiece of our lives. Our life has to rotate around the ineffable. Anything short of that is not going to get it. Playing the game of being devoted is not going to get it. Being in a mutually supportive cast of others, all acting out according to the demands of a common environment, masquerading as a spiritual zone is not going to get it. Dressed up in robes of a particular color, taking vows we are not equal to, getting manic about rituals and dogma, playing one game on the surface and living another one underneath is not going to get it. Nothing is going to get it until it gets you, and no one knows when that moment is going to come, but it is influenced by the degree of our intensity of pursuit of the One. This does have a bearing on it. It bears on all of it. And that is why it says in the Bhagavad Gita, success is speedy for the energetic. Sure, there's an element of karma to all of it, and some people wouldn't be permitted a speedy access, but they also wouldn't be one of the ones pursuing it either. Wanting to pursue it is also a matter of karma. No one would be listening to these broadcasts except that it's a matter of karma. What is discussed here is of small interest to most people, and because of the eclectic nature of it here, it probably puts off, or would put off, a great many more people if they were ever likely to be exposed to it. Still, hearing someone speak or reading whatever words they may have written, it's not nearly as important as having an interior connection that one can access through the secret chambers of the heart or the intuition. Having a personal connection with the divine is a more superior possession than just about anything you can name. In fact, I would say there is nothing more important than that. And this I have been told by the ineffable, and I hear it pretty much every time I complain about something, which, thankfully, is far less frequent now than it once was. What I'm trying to say here is that all of us have far more reasons for faith than we might expect. And that is because we are always looking for visible evidence to support our belief system, when the real proof of all things of this nature resides within us. I have felt the presence of the ineffable at times, and I have also felt it recede inexplicably at some point during it, and that has caused me to wonder very much. I wonder very much why it receded. I could not comprehend anything at the time in my own behavior that might have caused it. Perhaps it was not something I did that caused it to recede. Then again, maybe it was. And I was, I was just not perceptive enough to catch what that was. I don't trouble myself about that. I just keep on seeking and searching. I've been searching. I'm more or less like that. I've been searching every way. Well, you can't let failure be the arbiter of your continuance. You have to be the Energizer Bunny in this condition. You have to be the little engine that thought it could. Any one of us, if we saw the trials that had waited ahead for us at some previous point, we might well have given up right then. Perhaps that is the reason we are not shown. Had I known 30 years ago what waited me in those following years, I do not doubt that it might have killed my spirit or injured my zeal and impetus to some degree. I did not know, and it did not kill my spirit. Am I now to wonder at the remaining years? I do not. What will be, time will tell, and we shall see. I want to thank you one and all for coming around here for these brief streams or whatever it is that passed through my consciousness and then outward to wherever it arrived at. I'm grateful that you consider these transmissions valuable enough to pay attention to, in those cases where that applies. I've gone more slowly with this broadcast than I have in times past. And so, I come to the end with a smaller amount of information than I usually do. Or maybe not. Maybe it's more, but it's just didn't take as long. Well, it's the same amount of time, but there wasn't as much verbiage. However, I know that quantity is no substitute for quality. I hope there is some small amount of the latter in tonight's transmission. And so it is that I tell you one more time that we have come to the end of another broadcast, and I will see you next week if there is one. Please take advantage of what time remains to you to seek out the ineffable in whichever way is possible for you, and put yourself under the protection of the divine by willing it so and by believing that it is true. Sometimes believing sometimes, maybe that's all it takes. That's it. Alhamdulillah. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Om Amitabha. Hare Krishna. Much love, Lady Nature. Greetings, my good friend, Lord Ganesh. Carry on, Baha'u'llah. Aloha and... Hare!
He's long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. Coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing love and truth. He's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. He's here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.